Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. And it's family gathering. It's old home week in the studio this morning. You like that phrase, huh?
I like that.
Okay, this broadcast celebrates the first anniversary for Right Here, Right Now. With me in the studio are Vanessa Lowry, the permanent guest host of Right Here, Right Now, and who was also one of the first guests on the first show.
I know, that was so exciting to be part of the first show, and then...
You got elevated all of a sudden.
I know, you invited me back to help you guest host, and now I'm here once a month.
Here you are, and the voice you heard earlier was Stone Payton, the original co-host and producer for Right Here, Right Now, a vital cog at Business Radio X.
Well, at least I used to be, until I got laid off.
Oh, is that it? Got kicked out, huh?
Right.
Well, of course, with us today is our new co-host and producer, Andy Lowe. So we welcome you all to listen to the Right Here family this morning. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn to Andy Lowe for the overall hosting responsibilities this morning. Since he's the newest member of the family, we've challenged him to interview all of us as a way of learning more about the background, history, and development of Right Here, Right Now, and to get us into what we hope will be a fun conversation. So that's a monumental challenge. It's over to you, Andy.
Hey, each week I get faced with these new monumental challenges, but I'm happy to have them and to take them on. So let's do this, Dr. Tim. I mean, some of our listeners may be tuning in for the first time, and some of them may have been with us over the journey of the last year. But for those that are new, tell us a little bit about Right Choice Services, kind of who you guys are, and also bring us the story of how you got involved with Right Choice Services, because I know that's a pretty interesting tale.
Well, Right Choice Services is a writing company. We help people write the book that they've always wanted to write. The story we say is, think of the time you've been in a social gathering. You've told a story of something that happened in business or in your life, and you get done, and someone says to you, you ought to write a book someday. And we believe that Right Choice Services is your someday. We help you write that book. We also do resumes. We create top-quality resumes because it's just another form of telling a story of one's life. I became a part of Right Choice Services by being a client. I was always going to write a book someday, just didn't realize it. And the owner of and founder of Right Choice Services, Janet Litherland Barnes, was my high school chorus teacher a long time ago. And she challenged me to write a book, and I did, and the rest is history. And then I went to work as an independent contractor, and when Janet decided to retire, I bought the company. And that's how it all came to be. And I'm having the time of my life, I'll tell you. It is thrilling to be able to help people create the books they've always wanted to write.
So what made you decide radio was going to be the right medium? I mean, okay, you're a guy, you write books, right? So how do you go from writing books to radio? How'd you put that together?
I know this is going to be shocking, but Stone Payton stands in the way. I think it was you, Vanessa.
I think it was me.
Yeah, you recommended that I be in touch with Stone and the other guy whom I never met, and he turned out to be sick that day, so you had to step in for him.
For your high-velocity radio station.
Oh, is that right?
Because I had emailed Todd that I thought Dr. Tim would be a good guest for your all show, because I knew Todd better than I knew you at that point.
Uh-huh.
And so Dr. Tim came and was a guest on your show, and then I think it kind of evolved from there.
Yeah, well, I had just come out with my book called Writing Secrets, Essential Steps to Discover How to Start, fully expecting to meet Todd, and I met Stone and Lee, and they ran the show interviewed me that day, and when it was all done, Stone retained my services to help him revise the book that he was writing, and then you got involved in that process, Vanessa.
Right, and of course, you're writing Secrets. I did the design of the cover and formatted the book, and so I'm always trying to promote my clients wherever I can.
So, yeah, so we
so I love that. How that connection all happens.
Well,
and
the stories overlap.
Together.
You talked about being a client first in your situation. Well, I was a client first with Business Radio X, and I really believe just making the transition, when we had that show, I started as a client. The High Velocity Radio show, I was a client, and we had that show with Business Radio X to help us reach the hard to meet people.
Oh, my.
And then I hired you to help me re-release the book that I wrote 10 years ago. And then over time, I became a managing partner and equity partner in Business Radio X. So it's not a dissimilar story.
Well, that is fascinating. And then after the show, you said to me that if I ever wanted to do a show like this, you know, or just do an interview, let you know. And so
right.
I kept it in the back of my head, and I came in with Tricia Malloy.
Oh, yeah.
And we were in reverse seats at that time, and you just turned it over to me and said, go with it. And I couldn't see the clock. I didn't know where the clock was in the studio, but Tricia and I are having a great time. And I finally looked at you and I said, Stone, I don't know how much time there's left. And you said, whether you were telling me the truth or not, you said, well, I've been so involved, I don't even know either. But we got done with the show, and you said, you know, we're thinking about having a show in which you interview speakers and writers. And you said, this, we're going to interview 3 or 4 people, and here's our start date. Why don't you think about it?
Well, it was a definite gap in our programming because that's when I come from, the training and consulting world. And mm-hmm. I booked a lot of speakers and made a fairly comfortable living doing keynote work as well.
Yeah.
And I knew that that was a gap in our programming, that speakers very much would like to come on, talk about their thing, and that we needed to get to them. And then when I watched you and Tricia in that show, it looked to me like you were a natural. And it would be a good fit for somebody that, because they all need to write a book too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it just made perfect sense to me.
Well, I went home that afternoon and I thought about it. And I wrote an email to Stone and said, I literally said, audition hell, hire me.
Because that was the process at that time. What we did, particularly on really popular premium show concepts like that, we would hold auditions. And so part of what I was doing, I really was just transitioning to being, I had just signed paperwork, I probably 3 or 4 weeks before that, to be a managing partner, equity partner in Business Radio X. And our process at that time for premium show concepts was to hold auditions. And so what I wanted to do was invite you into the audition process. And I don't know, somehow you conned me out of the audition. We don't audition anybody else. We let you run with it, right?
Yes, you did. I think one of the things was you were going to have the show start in May, and I said, hire me now. We'll start in April. That's 4 weeks of income.
Right. That's right.
And the rest is history. Here I am. I continue to be here.
So when did you do your first show? What was the date of the first Right Here, Right Now show, and who was your guest?
April 12th. And you know, it would be the 11th today, but it was leap year, so we've bumped that. So that's why it's April 10th. And I had 3 guests on that morning because I was doing everything by the book, and I still do. But Stone and Lee had said, always have more than one guest, so when the others don't show up, you at least have one.
That's right.
And so I had Vanessa come in because she had written a book, and she had done the cover on My Writing Secrets, and I knew she'd be a good interview. I had Joe Colavito, who was my original client when I went full-time with Right Choice Services after purchasing the company, and Joe had written 5 books, and I'd helped him. And then I brought in Kevin Keeles. At the time, Kevin was still affiliated with the hospice. He and I had worked together a number of years ago as chaplains for one of the hospices in Atlanta, and I knew that he had recently come out with a book. So they were 3 people that I knew could talk, and that I wouldn't be sitting here really being embarrassed.
And the energy in that show was really amazing. It was a really powerful show.
I guess it was. I was pretty nervous, and you know, Vanessa and I put together a book called Write a Book, Change the World, which draws upon what we think were the 10 best interviews of the first year of Right Choice, or of Right Here, Right Now. And we chose that show as one of the top 10, and now it just blew me away.
That surprised me. It was to be included in that book, and it was the first one.
And it was the first one.
Well, and I remember you used to come in. Dr. Tim used to come in with his 3-ring binder, right?
Right.
Everything was written out. Now he comes in with no notes hardly at all. He used to come in with this great big old thing, but it gets more and more comfortable over time, right?
Well, I do. I do. And what I realized was when I picked the guest, I obviously had done a good job, and the quality of the information in that just really worked. So that's the long answer. April the 12th, here we are 366 days later.
And Vanessa, when did you come in and do your first co-host role?
Well, you know, I was a guest on the very first show, and I think it was just the third show.
It was the third show.
That Dr. Tim had, he had some out-of-town trips scheduled that were work-related. He was going to a conference, and he called me, and he said, somehow I didn't look at my calendar when I was starting the show, and I'm going to be gone on this Tuesday. Can you come in and guest host for me? And I had done some guest hosting with some other things, and I said, sure, that would be fine. So he already had the guests booked that show, and it just happened to be Robin and Richard Kirby, both of who have written books. And Robin Kirby and I co-wrote a book together along with another friend, Carolyn Buttram. So it was fun to talk about our book, as well as Richard has written a book in the career career development and job search arena. And so we got to talk to him and talk to them about the experience of being married and writing books while you're married to somebody and what that, you know, what that entails. And they both had very different experiences of writing their books. So it was fun to be able to come in and interview my friends.
And then Vanessa was doing marketing for me for my book and Right Choice Services at the time, and she lined up another event for me to go to, which required me to be gone.
That was sneaky of me, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It required me to be gone on a Tuesday, 2 weeks later, so
that's
she
right.
did the third and the fifth show, and when I came back for the sixth one, Stone said, so are you going to stick around this time?
That's right.
And I have. But it was great because Vanessa, as she said earlier, you know, she has one show a month at least, and it's just great to know that she's there.
Yeah, Dr. Tim came in after I had guest hosted those two shows for me. He said, let's have coffee. Let's talk about this. And he said, you know, it would be great to have you be a part of the show on a regular basis, and it gives him a little bit of a break. And that way, you know, if he's going to be traveling during the month, we just schedule my show to be the day he's going to be gone. And then we've done a number of shows together, which has been really fun, too.
What's been some of the business impact from having your show? What have you seen with the services that you guys offer, just the volume of and quality of clients?
You want to go with that one?
Well, you know, from my standpoint, because I have a separate company than Dr. Tim's company. My company is called Connect for Leverage, and I work with authors for their book cover design, formatting their book to get it ready for print, and then the marketing aspect, so that helping them market the book both before and after they publish. So it's been really powerful for me to not only be able to bring my clients into the studio, but also to meet people that are in various processes of writing a book, or they've published one book and they're thinking about their next book, to be exposed to people that, you know, that already have that experience or in the midst of that experience of writing and either need my services now or might need my services in the future. So you know, it's really been a very effective way for me to meet people as well as strengthen the relationships with people that I am already working with.
Yeah. And as for me and for Right Choice Services, one of the strengths that Lee and Stone shared with me is that I forget the percentage. I think you like your guest host to, or your host to increase what, 300%?
Well, our financial discipline is 5-to-1, 400% ROI, and to our knowledge, they're all hitting that. And that's a personal financial discipline for me and for the organization. And so, I mean, to me, I wouldn't do it if I weren't going to get that kind of return. So that's our
discipline. Well, I haven't told you this, but I am hitting that now.
Are you? Good.
Yes. And I can
congratulations.
Thanks. And I can attribute it to the impact of the show. Because of the people that I've brought on some of my clients who have then renewed contracts, if you will, or people have come in and said, oh, that's really what you do? Well, then let me sign on. Yesterday, I had a conversation with an individual who's been on the show twice, and we were talking about ways that I can partner with him to help enhance his business. And so it's amazing. And you know, marketers will tell you there are two titles to have that really help you these days. And one is to be an author, and the second is to be a radio host. And I've got them both.
That reminds me of George Brett used to say that every young boy wants to join the circus and play professional baseball. And he got to do both. Well, now you get to be an author and a radio host.
Yeah, yeah. And I was a clown, so I've kind of been part of
You've
a circus.
All of it,
so
right?
I'm doing good.
Now, would it be fair to say that your business has picked up significantly since you changed co-hosts since I took over?
Oh, no, here we go. Sorry. I knew things were going to go downhill in a minute.
We are not going there. We are not going there. But part of the success for me came from listening to what Stone and Lee put out there. And they always talked about the blue, the orange, and the green model of clients or people to have in. And I followed that religiously. And the idea is to get green ones. And these are people who may give you a check or hire you for your services. Blue are those people who may or may not retain your services, but they know people in the oranges. Ain't no way those folks are going to write a check. They're just big. But they have such a following that it gives credibility to the show.
You had an orange on not too long ago, right?
Yes, I did. And Dr. Ivan Meisner.
Right. I mean, and everybody knows this guy, right? So it's great.
Absolutely.
He's never going to write you a check. But it's great for credibility. And, I mean, we've had people talking to us that maybe you don't even know about that say, oh, I heard the interview, you know, with Ivan Meisner, because a lot of people, you know, around town are part of this BNI thing.
It was it was one of our highly most highly listened to shows,
actually. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And Dr. Meisner actually wrote a blurb on the back of Dr. Tim's Writing Secrets book.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. He's had some connections with him, but that was a great show that you all did.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask this question. Over the last year, and maybe you guys can speak to this all from a little different perspective as host, co-host, and even as producer, what stands out as one of the highlights of something you learned, something that happened that you just is kind of an aha moment for you over the last year?
Well, you know, one of the things that I learned, and this actually came as a result of Dr. Tim and I working on this write a book, Change the World book, because he had all of the shows transcribed, and we picked out what we felt like were our top 10 shows, and then we read through the transcriptions and pulled out quotes, and he cleaned them up a little bit. And but what
were those mine?
All the ums and ahs, you know, the things that people add on extra.
Oh, okay.
But the thing that I found is because I'm such a visual person that I saw things reading the interviews that I hadn't really picked up on when I listened to the interviews, and I was amazed at how many different ways people write, that, you know, some people talk their books, some people write a little bit every day, some people sit down, you know, over a weekend and write their books, some people have, you know, very big chunks of time, you know, 4 hours at a time that they sit and write. But everybody writes differently, but it all accomplishes a published book. And I thought that was really powerful to say there's not just one right way to do it. You do the way that fits your personality and fits the way that your brain work and the way that your time frame works, and you can accomplish it. And we've interviewed people that have been writing their manuscripts for 5 and 7 years, and then we've interviewed people like Dr. Tim that wrote his book in 48 hours over the weekend. So, you know, we've had the whole range of how people have written their books and how they've published them and their purposes behind their books. So I thought that was really amazing.
I'll tell you what I gained from as I look back over the year is Stone always used to say when we did the after the show went off, we would sit around and talk, and he would generally say that was another good one. And I thought it was just helping me feel good. And after I read the transcripts, I said he wasn't lying.
It really was good.
It really was good, the quality. And excuse me, and what else I found is I'm using the show for teaching purposes now. So when I meet with clients, and if they have a particular issue that they're struggling with as they write, I'll say, well, go to the Right Here, Right Now website and listen to the download of this show.
Oh, wow. That's great application.
Where I address that issue. And in fact, when I became aware of that, I began to schedule some programs to meet the needs of some people that I knew had some writing issues.
Well, there are two things that I find that I've known intellectually for some time. It's what compelled me to join the organization as an equity partner, but they continue to fascinate me. One is everyone is smart and passionate about something.
Right.
And you sometimes, or at least I don't see it coming. I'm like, wow, that lady's really got it going on. And you just, so to that I consider, and that goes broader than just this one show.
Yeah.
That continues to fascinate me. The other thing is, there's some kind of bonding mojo, frou-frou dust or something that happens during a show.
Frou-frou dust.
I don't know how to explain it, except you get 3 or 4 people in here that have never met each other. They hang out in the lobby for a little bit. You can sense that they're all a little bit nervous about coming on the show, right? They come on the show, Dr. Tim's show, or anyone else's, really, candidly. You get to see all the smart, passionate stuff. And then they hang out. You can't get rid of them. If you got a show right behind them, you're like, you try to get them their coffee mug and get them out, right? But and they hang out, and they just bond. Both of those things, it fascinates me every week, and it's to me, it's a lot of fun to watch.
Well, picking up on that, I have actually come to know that some of the people that have been guests on a show did not know each other prior to the show, have subsequently gone in and have done business together. And I love that.
Well, there is something about the unique bonding that happens on the show there, right? Because we've also seen the other side of this. And Dr. Tim, I know this has been one of those little fun spots for you because you kind of pointed it out for a while during some of the shows. You're like, here comes the awkward moment, the pregnant pause in the show.
Yes.
Because you got these people bonding. You know they have questions for each other. They want to talk to each other. But you put them on the spot, and then there's that silence.
And nobody wants to go first.
Last week, the guests fought over who went first.
That's right. They did. They really did. So it is. It's like they go through this trial together, but and when they come out the other side, they definitely are bonded. But in the moment, sometimes, they're not sure what to say.
Yeah.
Well, and I love what Dr. Tim mentioned earlier about that there is such great content in the show that it's great for educational purposes for people that are in various processes of writing their book or marketing their book. And the collaborative book that I came out with in November is called Publishing as a Marketing Strategy. And we actually, in the appendix of that book, we have a whole, I think, 4 or 5 pages of different shows that we had done here, right here, right now, that we listed the topic and a little synopsis of the show. So when people are reading that book and they're wanting to have a little more information about how to write their book, they can go listen to a specific show and hear a little more about that. So I think it's such a valuable tool for anybody that's thinking about writing a book, in the process of writing a book, has written one book and is wanting to do it a little differently or a little better and take what they learned and really implement that for their next book. It provides a lot of great information.
Well, one of the other things that I've done, I alluded to earlier, is when I was working with a number of clients all at one time, they all seemed to have the same problem, and that was they insisted they were being passionate about their writing, and I couldn't find it. It was just not there in the black and white that I was reading. And then I knew of a couple of people who had written books that were passionate. The books really just, they dripped with emotion, and it was not saccharine. It was serious stuff. So I just arranged for them to come in, and I interviewed them. And then I send emails out to my clients and say, listen to this show, you know, and that worked. And then when I was making the contact to have Dr. Meisner on, his executive administrator said, do you have anything on article writing? And I said, not yet, but I will. And I did 2 weeks later, did a show on how do you write an article? And I let them know. And, you know, that's what's fun for me to be able to do now.
Yeah, if you want to know something, all you got to do is just build a show around it. Right? We do like a special episode at Atlanta Business Radio or High Velocity Radio. We want to meet some chefs. We just have a special series, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Lee and I have gained a little weight. I don't know if you've noticed. But seriously, if you want to know something, you could just kind of build a little show around that. Bring in the experts. Bring in people you want to talk to.
Absolutely.
And that's a neat way to use the platform, too.
Well, we've got your book, obviously, the 10 best interviews over the last year. Let's look at the other side of the coin, though. What about the outtakes? let's talk about some of those unique outtake moments
Winning
that have happened over the last year.
Influencing people. You're not going to name names.
Well, the original co-host producer, since he's gone off to other places, the number of worries about outtakes have diminished drastically. No, there was only one. I've only had one person in the midst of one show just become kind of tongue-tied and said, oh, brain fart. And that's the only thing. And he, after the show, I said, do you realize what you said? He don't have a clue. He said, are you going to edit that out? I said, absolutely not.
No.
Well, and I know Dr. Tim and I both have had this experience of having people on the show that come in very nervous about being on the show.
Yeah.
And they, you know, maybe they've never done this before, but they're very nervous about being on the show. And at the end of the show, they've said to each of us, that was just like a conversation. You made me feel so comfortable that I didn't even think about getting nervous once we started. And that's really what we tell people is, you know, we're not going to make this hard. We're not going to trip you up. We're going to ask you things that you know, that you're passionate about, and it's just going to be a conversation that happens to be recorded.
But that speaks well to both of you. Both of you are really good at doing that and asking the questions and letting the guest shine and letting them do the talking. I mean, that's an acquired skill, and maybe you already had it before you got here, but, I mean, not everybody just right out of the box can do that, I wouldn't think.
I would think the only reason that I could do that was, know, I get, maybe the listeners get tired of my mentioning it, but I was in ministry for 25 years. And so that involved counseling people.
A lot of listening in that job.
A lot of listening.
Or at least there should be, right?
And having to ask the right question to get the information that we really need. And I think that's the only thing I can attribute it to. But it is fun. And you also coached me on that, Stone. You said, this is not 60 minutes.
Right.
And that was exactly. Helpful. That was helpful for me to really understand. I'll tell you, Andy, the toughest interviews I've had were those people who came in with note cards prepared to get the answer onto the show somehow or other, whether I asked the question or not. And those were the longest shows I did. Mm-hmm. We are not a soundbite show.
No, and we really use the principles of improv that we listen to our guests and then go where our guests go. We have both Dr. Tim and I come in with an outline of questions in case we need to review those and have some little notes to keep the conversation going, but we don't necessarily ask them in a particular order, and we really play off of what the guest has to say so that it's an interesting conversation, as opposed to, oh, we have to then jump to this question and get this one in and this one and get this one in. So
what have you guys found to be more difficult, dealing with the guest who gives a short, concise answer and kind of clams up maybe because they're nervous, or the guest who, as soon as you ask them a question, they turn it into a monologue and you have to pretty much break in to get another question in?
I haven't really found either one of those to be a problem. What about you, Tim?
I had one guest who had been a client for quite some time, but I also knew that she answers questions short and to the point. So I was prepared for that. People who go on, I have no trouble breaking in on. I'm just that irreverent.
That's the great thing about radio. You can literally just hold your hand up like, you got to shut up.
Right.
That's right.
Nobody listening knows.
But I do have a hypothesis. But I genuinely believe it to be true. I really believe I'm a better conversationalist. I do a better job working a room. I'm more enjoyable at the family reunion now after having been a radio host for 3.5 years. Than I was before, because I think I ask better questions. Mm-hmm. I think I listen better. I really do think it hones
it
that,
does that, yeah.
That skill for you.
Well, do you remember the show I did with Greg Evans? He was the security guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a fun one.
Oh, that, you know, Greg Evans, we had really struggled to get him on the show. And when I was talking with his appointment person, I said, does he really want to be on the show, or is he giving me a slow no? And she said, oh, no, he wants to be on. And I raised that because he'd been on the Today Show, Good Morning America. He'd been on Fox News. I mean, his credentials are like, whoa. And he came in, and we ran 40 minutes. And he was one that I had to keep interrupting, and I hated to do it, but I needed to do it. And I couldn't figure out why this guy who has a national reputation, he had been dubbed as by the FBI as one of the top 10 hackers in the world. And after he did his time, then he created his own company to protect companies against people like him.
It was a fascinating interview. It was hard to produce. I couldn't pay any attention to the sound levels or anything because I'm on the edge of my seat listening to the conversation.
Well, what Stone helped me realize when that was over with, this was a chance for him to talk. He wasn't constrained by sound bites that had to be fit in between commercials of companies he couldn't offend because they paid sponsorship. And he just talked, and we had fun, and he shared information. It was great.
Well, and I think also because of the content of our show is more about the process of people writing their books and their experience of writing their books, as opposed to them really talking about the book itself, that when people come in, their sound bites don't really work because we're not asking
right.
those particular questions. We're asking questions about more of, you know, how did you write your book? You know, what did you spend time every day writing? What was the process of writing? What did it feel like when you were writing? What was the challenge? What was your biggest challenge when you were writing? So we're asking them questions about their process of writing.
It's a real conversation.
Right.
Or at least that's been my experience.
It
now,
is.
What kind of flack, if any, do you get or challenge do you have when you're trying to acquire guests? Does that come real easy for you guys? Do they ask you questions about listenership and try to compare
that to conventional radio? You know, yeah, they want to know what's
the listenership,
that.
Right?
And I have fun with that because, again, you all schooled me well on that.
You tell them two. Right.
Yeah.
Now, both of them might write you a check, but two.
Yeah, but this internet radio, we may know. You could probably look at the screen right now and tell us how many are listening live, can't you? Don't. But
put three zeros on it, and I say that in all seriousness. Put three zeros on whatever the number is, because in my and I believe I know I'm paid to think and talk like this. I think every one of our listeners is worth 1,000 of a conventional radio listener because they're intentional and they're okay. I'm answering my own question. I'm gonna hush now. Go ahead.
Well, that's just it. I will say to people, like Bonnie Daneker is a prime example. She's a competitor, if you will, but we work hand in glove on some clients. Her company is Right Alive, I think. Is that her?
Right Advisors.
Right Advisors. Mm-hmm. Anita Paul is Right Alive, isn't she?
Right. Right Your Life.
There you go. See, yeah. I know. Yeah. We have competition. But at any rate, as you know, we give them the URL for the show, and they put it on their website. And I know that Bonnie gets a lot of traffic, so there are a lot of people going to her website, downloading that interview of her on Right Here, Right Now. And, of course, it always says, brought to you by Right Choice Services. So I'm even being advertised on the competition.
Right.
But to your point, Andy, how many people are listening to that? And as Stone pointed out, that if they go to that, they're going to that intentionally to listen to it. So we may have 10 people listening live right now, but there may be 50 people every day downloading, listening, and it's exponential.
Well, I'll tell you what, and they listen to that show, they get value out of it, so then they download or make a point of going to listen to every show you've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, or at least that's been our experience.
Mm-hmm. Because the Atlanta Business Radio X has, we have a page, the Right Here, Right Now has a page on the Business Radio X site where archives all the shows so people can go back and listen to any of the shows and see the description of the show and who the guests were. And then I know a lot of your shows are also on iTunes.
Right, right. So you catch this show, you catch this show, and you listen to this, and you pick up one nice point. You're writing a book, or your sister's writing a book, or whatever. You go listen to all 100 or 200 shows at some point.
And what I point out to people when I ask them to be guests on this is we are not Blog Talk Radio. Because I think that conveys an image. And Business Radio X has 3 studios working towards 4. You're in negotiation to expand over to England, across the pond, if you
right.
will.
Well, there's some rhyme and reason behind that, because my kid's going to Oxford for a semester. Uh-huh. So I'm trying to wang-dangle everything. Plus, I'm trying to get
a business
tickets
write-off.
To Summer Olympics. Right. But no, we are. We're going to do one in Manchester and at least one in London. Yeah.
And so that gives some credibility. And to be on this show, you don't have to come into a studio, but we really prefer that. And people who walk in here see that it's real equipment. It's not Radio Shack specials. So that enhances the ability to get people to come in and be on the show.
So over the last year, let me come back to the show itself. Over this last year, you have your style of writing and your coaching and instruction that you take people through. Have you ever had anybody come in and interview that really just went against the grain of everything you believe and think when they talk about their experience or their beliefs in writing a book?
I have not had that. And the primary reason for that is that I listen to any client to see how he or she wants to write or approaches writing or any of that. And then I craft the program, the process around what they see as their way to go. So it's pretty difficult to get me upset about how they may or may not write, because that's the way I've been with my whole life. There are people who would say that there's the world and then there's Tim. My wife is one of those, but she's put up with me. But seriously, I figure there are rules and there are reasons for rules, but then we have to find that gray area that really works for people. So that's what I do.
Have you had a favorite guest, somebody that if you could just have them back every week, you would?
I anticipated that, but why don't you go with it?
Well, you know,
I like every time he gets stuck, he looks at you, Vanessa.
Okay.
Why don't you go first?
He's running for office, too, I think.
You know, I really have had such wonderful guests. I've had an array of really wonderful guests, but one of my favorite shows was one that we did back in October that Stone produced.
Uh-huh.
That's right, Stone produced it. But it was one about, we had 3 guests on, and they were all talking about their book and how it was a healing journey for them. And so it was, we had one woman that had written a fiction novel that was that the main character had lupus, and she personally had lupus, and so she had incorporated a lot of her personal experiences into the book. And we had a gentleman that had leukemia and had gone through bone marrow transplant, and so he had created an organizer. It was called a cure organizer to help people track all of the materials that they need to keep track of when they're going through cancer and through something like that. And then we had another woman, Echo Garrett, who had ghostwritten a book or co-written a book that she'd ghostwritten, that then a foundation came out of that book. And when they created the book, the idea of the foundation was part of the whole process. And so now they're working with kids that are at-risk youth. And so it was such a powerful show because these three people had written three very different books, but were all using their book as a way to educate people and to help other people that are going through a similar type of challenge that they were going through. And I thought that was just a really powerful show.
It was. It was an incredibly powerful show. In-studio stuff's fun. I like, and maybe Dr. Tim will speak to his experience on this, I have a good time doing the remotes. Now, you don't have the substantial in-depth conversations, but like we were at the Technology Association of Georgia last week or week before last, and we did 27 interviews. Now, you're exhausted at the end of the day, but you meet so many people, and it's a different energy level.
It's a quick in and out. It's fun.
But to me, that's just it's an absolute. I couldn't do it every week. I'm just too old. But that's a blast. But you did the remote thing at one of the book festivals.
Decatur Book Festival. Yeah. Vanessa and I were looking at we did 29 mini shows that day and interviewed about 33 people through all of that. Vanessa mentioned Echo Garrett. I had her on one of my shows as well, and she is a delight, and I have her scheduled for coming on again in June. She's just fun to interview. Yeah. She's a professional writer. She's written articles. She's just fun to have. I had Jim Dawson on a couple of weeks ago.
And that was a great show, storytelling show.
Storytelling show. He just could talk, and I could listen, and we'll have him on. One of the other people that I recall so well is Azia Squire, and I interviewed her at the Decatur Book Festival.
Huh.
And what drew me to her was she is from Atlanta, but she went to Pitt. She was a student at Pitt, and I grew up north of Pittsburgh. So, bring her on. Well, she did a good job, and she had written a novel, and she said that all of her professors and teachers and instructors were in support of her. Well, back in October, I left the day that you interviewed those three you were talking about. I appeared at a book festival in my hometown, and I had encouraged them to ask Azia to come be a part of that festival. And what was interesting about it, it was like Tim's trying to muscle in and bring people on that we don't want, da-da-da-da-da. They didn't say that, but, it was everywhere. And they brought Azia in. She had more people come to her booth that day than anybody else. She ran out of books. She ran out of products. She just ran out. Didn't I feel good about that? But I also was able to introduce her to Jim O'Brien, who is with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and is just a well-known author in Pittsburgh, and he wanted to get to know her, so we made that connection. She was being a little shy about doing that, but she made that connection.
Oh, that's great.
She's benefited from that, and I got a LinkedIn request from her the other day, and she is now interning with WQED, which is Educational TV in Pittsburgh, the home side of Mr. Rogers and all that. So that was fun to meet her at the Decatur Book Festival and be able to follow her along and see those things develop.
Well, and I love that you're talking, that we both have talked about, and you have too, Stone, the connections that you make with people and how that, those connections and those relationships go further than you think. And we actually did a show, it was one of the shows that I hosted, I think it was back in August, where the topic of the show was about the power of connecting mm-hmm. when you're publishing and promoting your book. And I had three guests on the show, and they all talked about not only the power of gathering information when you're researching your book, but then the power of getting the word out once you've published, and how, those connections can be really powerful to help you in a promotion standpoint too. So mm-hmm. you never know where some of those relationships are going to take you. If you treat the relationships with care and with respect, so
yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the other things I wanted to lift up too, from what Vanessa had said and Stone said earlier, what are there, 43 shows on Business Radio X?
I think it's actually 47 now. Yeah.
Oh, we're up to 47. And see, that's one of the draws, too, because when I have, and I think Vanessa does the same thing, we say to our guests, look, if you enjoyed this experience, go to the BRX website, read the blurbs on all the 47 shows. And if there's something that reads good to you and you think would be a great mix or match for you to be on there, let us know, and we'll do whatever we can to get you on that show. I have yet to have anybody take me up on that, which I'm disappointed because I think it's a great opportunity. But we are part of a family of 47 high-quality shows, and that gives us additional leverage.
Well, right. You do skip the line, too. So if I get a note that says, Dr. Tim suggested I reach out to you, I'd like to be on High Velocity Radio, we're booked out through September.
Sure.
I'm not waiting until September. I'll have them on in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll find a way. Mm-hmm. We'll do a special episode if we have to.
There you go.
And make Andy drive down to...
Yeah. And we did do a special episode of Right Here, Right Now, and that was the nice thing. I'm involved in job seeker groups through my resume writing, and I know that every holiday season, a lot of people sit down from their job seeking, thinking that nobody's in town. Well, in fact, that's when people are in town and budgets are set, and it's a great time to be job searching. So I had 3 people, 2 in studio and 1 phoned in, and we did a special hour-long show on what should a job seeker do during the holiday season.
Oh, cool.
And I refer that one. I was doing resume review last night over at the Roswell United Methodist Church, and one more time I said, listen to the November 18th show. So we have the opportunity to do special shows if the need arises, and it's just fun.
So based on what has gone on over the last year, mm-hmm. what do we have to look forward to this year? What are the plans for year 2? What can we expect from Right Here, Right Now?
I think this is when I usually turn to Vanessa and ask her, but I don't think I would get away with that this time.
I can make something up.
Well, Vanessa's mom's here. We haven't had her answer anything.
Yeah, that's, we could do that. I think she's enjoying watching her daughter be under the gun. More of the same is the easiest answer I can give you, but I find that I'm becoming even more intentional about what I'm after. I no longer panic if I don't have a guest lined up 3 weeks away, because I know I can find someone. And I'm no longer worried about saying no to people who just want to be on the show, because this show is not for people to promote their books. We give them a chance to do that if they've written a book, but this is really to help business people feel comfortable with writing. And so we're going to be taking a continued look at that. What is the impact of writing a book on one's business? So we'll have more of that. I'll probably bring in some guests, talk more about writing articles so that people can take their blogs and create a book out of it, or create a blog and create an article out of it, so that there's a wider application to the writing that people tend to do every day.
Now, maybe I'm talking a little out of school here, but I know we've had some conversations, so I just want to see if you want to breach this a little bit, but one of the changes...
Preach? Yeah. Oh, yeah!
No, breach.
Darn.
You had him really fired up
there. I had him excited
there
for a second. No, but going forward, one of the things that I know you've talked about is that in a learning environment for some of your clients, you actually want to have them on the show, mm-hmm. and we're going to create some pre-writing the book,
oh, yeah.
some during writing the book, and mm-hmm. some post-writing the book mm-hmm. interviews that'll be not only lessons for your clients, but that will be super valuable information for people listening out there. Is that right?
I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, we have talked about that, and I totally forgot about it. But, yeah, studio time, and this is why I asked the question, the studio time for somebody to appear on this show, if they were to buy the studio time to get the URL that they wind up with, it's at least $1,000. And we don't charge. Nobody's even bribed me yet, darn it. But what I am going to do with certain clients is give them an opportunity that if they sign on with me to help them write their book and create the product that they want, I will give them the opportunity to be on this show right at the beginning of the writing process so that they can put that URL on their website, you know, listen about the book that I'm writing, and they can begin to promote themselves as an author of the forthcoming. Then I may do one or two more interviews with them, maybe halfway through. So what's it like? Are you sweating blood yet? Is it easier than you thought, harder than you thought? What did you think? And then finally, when the book is about to come out, we'll bring them back on so that they can do one last one. This is what I did. This is when the book's coming out. Order it now. But it also becomes a teaching process for me. I can package all that into an information packet, and I can sell that or make it available to people so that they can listen to what the process is for someone else and identify.
Well, and one of the things that Dr. Tim and I are doing with not only our shows, but encouraging other people, he mentioned, you know, leveraging the content that you're already creating. And so that was part of the thought process behind the Write a Book, Change the World book, is, you know, leveraging these shows that we already have, creating a book out of it. And then we've also talked about, you know, having an annual book that's kind of the highlights of the show that are just quotes, you know, kind of the wit and witticism of the show, that we'll go through each of the transcripts and pull out quotes from our guests and package those into a book. So there's lots of different ways you can leverage content to take work that you've already done and repackage it in a different way for potentially a different audience or an audience that would look at it a little differently.
Well, bringing that to light, that's also something we're probably going to be seeing rolling out over the course of the next year. By the end of the year, I should say, we're going to see you guys working with some of our existing shows to help them do what you guys did. Is that right? We're going to see some books coming out of that.
Mm-hmm. Stone?
Oh, that's absolutely.
That's our plan.
We're very seriously entertaining the idea of adding a publishing arm to Business Radio X, and these two people here at the table today running that division, because we just think it would be so valuable. I mean, I hadn't even thought about a wit and wisdom book. There's going to be a lot more wit than wisdom on some of our shows.
That's true.
But it's going to make for good books, right? So, no, this to me is a fabulous idea. In fact, if you don't mind, take a minute and tell our listeners, give them a little more detail on this book you guys just put out.
Well, it's called Write a Book, Change the World, and Vanessa and I demonstrate our skills and abilities in it. She did the layout and the cover design. I read through all the transcripts of our shows and picked out what I thought were the best, and Vanessa backed me up on those. What the book has become, really, is it's a teaching book on how to write a book, because these are all people that we interviewed on our various shows talking about how they found their topic, what did they do with it, how are they marketing it, and Vanessa challenged me, and she is so good at this, and then she reminded me that I did some of it too, but we pulled a quote out from everybody who is in that book, their interview. We pulled out a quote to highlight, and so that's where the idea of the wit and the wisdom came in. But how to write, what were the biggest stumbling blocks I came up against, what did I market, how do we do this, how do we do that, it's all in there. And we plan to do one of these every year. I mean, it's just so easy.
And, of course, our shows just keep getting better and better, so
absolutely,
they actually do one every 6 months or so.
We might have to do that.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I want to do beyond the wit and wisdom is I've talked about doing one on the impact that writing a book has on business, because that's a question we've asked all of our guests.
And a lot of the hosts have a question that they consistently ask on their show.
That we carve out, like a tip or
right,
something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of them.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that, just like what you ask your guests of, mm-hmm, you know, how's this impacted your business, that's a great little book in and of itself. But I had talked to a couple of other hosts that have shows on Business Radio X that said, oh, I ask a question like that every show. And so they've already got, you know, 200 tips,
right,
because
right,
they've done 2 years worth of shows and they've got all these tips already packaged. So,
well, yesterday I sent out an email to a whole bunch of people that have been on the show and invited any of them that wanted to send a word, hoping that it would be a nice word. and I do want to acknowledge that Ahmad Miraji of Book Logics, Sherry Gilbert of Heart Center Therapy, Brian Johnson, he's a client, he's also a construction person, amazing guy, Sandy Weaver Carmen and Melissa Galt and Hal Coleman, all who have been on our show, sent in basically saying congratulations and keep at it. We also invited people to text us, and we got one just before we went on the air from Renee Winchester. So we're happy to know that at least those people are listening, and we delighted in having them on the show and interviewing them over the past year.
Well, it's been a fun year. I mean, I've only been in on the tail end of it, but I've learned a lot myself just sitting in on your shows. So I think that people...
Makes you want to write a book, doesn't it?
It does.
The memoirs of Andy Lowe.
That's right.
Well, I don't know.
Behind the scenes.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
We'll start with fiction.
Yeah, there we go. You could probably write about your Iron Man competition.
That's
and all
right.
going into that.
Yeah, that's very true.
We could be the Iron Man and the Tin Man.
Well, Stone, I'm going to take over now because the clock is on us. But Stone, any closing comment you want to share or make?
Well, it's just been an absolute delight having you guys as part of the Business Radio X family. I love the conversations that Andy and I get a chance to eavesdrop on, and we are looking forward to many more years.
Great. Vanessa?
Well, this is just one of the most fun things that I do with my work and with my day. I think it's so much fun to come have conversations with people and get to learn about them and learn about the books they've written and the books that they're thinking about mm-hmm. writing and why they want to do that and what that means to them. So thank you for letting me be part of this.
Oh, well, sure. And you have your session 2 weeks from today.
That's right.
I'm traveling that day. So it's all the better. All the better. And it has just been an amazing journey for me, more than what I ever anticipated. And Tuesdays are the highlight of the week for me as well anymore. And as I said a few moments ago, the clock is on us. We welcome your comments and suggestions about the content and about our guests, except for today, because we don't want you saying negative things about us. But if you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Just send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Andy, for handling the controls today and asking the questions and keeping us in line.
Having to keep it wrangled today was the toughest one yet.
Yeah. Stone, it was great to have you back in here.
Thank you, sir.
Vanessa, it's always fun when we team up.
It is always fun. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. You can learn more about Right Choice Services at www.rite.com. And I hope you'll join us next week and tell your friends about the show. Send them an email. Invite them to listen live or to be sure to check out the downloads. Right Here, Right Now, broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at rightherewrightnow.businessradiox.com. The MP3 version is usually available later today at the latest tomorrow morning. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.